This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer.
If you own beachfront property in Maine or Massachusetts, you get to make a decision. Do you allow the public to use your beach for swimming, sunbathing, or strolling?
Or do you put up a no trespassing sign and try to keep that pricey land all to yourself? The town of Kennebunkport has argued that no matter how private property owners feel, everyone should be able to use local beaches.
But last week, Maine's highest court ruled that the public has very limited right to be on certain privately owned beaches in the town. And even though many beachfront landowners will continue to allow public access, they're not required to do so.
It's a ruling that has implications all along the East Coast. With us now to talk more about this is Kevin Miller. He's a Washington, D.C. correspondent for the Portland Press Herald and Maine Today, and he's been reporting on this case. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. And also with us is John Duff. He's an associate professor of environmental law and policy at UMass Boston. And John has written a guide to shoreline access laws in Maine. He wrote that, I think, in 2004. John, is that right?
That's right.
So thanks to you for coming in. And listeners, if you would like to weigh in on this and let us know whether you think coastline, even private property beaches, should be open to the public, or if you own private property and want to keep that just to yourself, you feel like you paid for it, why should I let the public on it? Call us 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-425-TALK. This is an issue that's been debated for years and years. It pits sometimes the wealthy against the folks who just want a little time on the beach. So 1-800-423-8255. And John and Kevin, I should preface this by saying that today and yesterday we had some pretty lively debates among the Radio Boston staffers about, wait, are you allowed on beaches if they're private property? Are you not? And we realized it's a complicated law with many interpretations over the years, so we're going to get into that. I wonder, though, Kevin Miller, if you could explain to us briefly how this Kennebunkport court case got started. What was the conflict initially?
Well, this is the latest in a long string of access cases in Maine dating back decades. And basically, all of these cases come down to one central question, which is, you know, who owns or who controls access to the beach? And in this case, you had the public's been using this beach for decades, going back, you know, generations and even a century or more. And what happened is you had a couple of local property owners disagreed with the town, basically trying to assert that this historic use of the beach means that the public can continue to use the beach without the landowner's permission.
So the courts sided with the private property owners, and they said that is indeed your decision to make whether you allow people on your property?
Right. In this case, the courts came down squarely on the side of the property owners. Basically, what they did was they revoked the town of Kennebunkport's claim that the public has been using this several miles of beach known as Goose Rocks Beach for so long that they should have guaranteed access to the beach. And instead, the court pretty much said that the public has been using this beach with the implicit permission of the property owners, and that's the way it should stay. So essentially, the property owners get to say who has access to the beach.
So again, it's not that people can't use the beach anymore. Is it just that now it's a little unclear? It's up to the benevolence or whim of individual property owners?
That's been the case in Maine, you know, both on the beaches and in land all across the state. The state has a pretty rich history of the public can use any land in the state unless the property owner says they can't. So unless they put up a trespassing sign, whether it's for, you know, you can't come on my beach or you can't hunt, the public has been able to use that land, or there's been a presumptive permission is the way they refer to it. And this doesn't change that, but it really makes it potentially harder for towns like Kennebunkport and other towns to say that this use has been going on for so long that the public should have a guaranteed right to use that property regardless of what the property owner says.
Which is why this issue has gotten so much coverage. Now, John Duff, you're basically an expert in shoreline access issues in this area. So tell us about this colonial-era law that's been around for more than 300 years that dictates what we can or can't do on private beaches.
Sure. In the United States, at the time of settlement on the East Coast, the property rights were conveyed via the King of England to the settlers via charters and grants. And there was something known as the Colonial Ordinance, dated back to the 1640s, that indicates that while the general rule, even in England in the time, had been that no one could own below the mean high watermark, that in an effort to facilitate development and settlement of North America, that private property owners would be able to own below the high watermark all the way down to the mean low watermark. And as a result, states like Massachusetts, which included what was then the District of Maine pre-statehood days and then into early statehood days for Maine, took with it that common law, which meant in Massachusetts and Maine today, private property owners can own down to low watermark.
But there's a little asterisk here, right? And this is where all the different interpretations have come in illegally, because there's this clause about fishing, fouling, navigating. So tell us about that.
That's right. So there are these interests known as the public trust doctrine, and that is an understanding that dates back actually to the Code of Justinian and to English kings, where even those leaders of nations at the time were thought to be unable to convey away such important places like the intertidal land, given the fact that they were so important for people to use and get access to the coast. And as a result, even when title was given to the intertidal lands, that is the land between the high water mark and the low water mark, that impressed upon that space were the reserve rights to the public to engage in fishing, fowling, and navigation. And for folks who are not familiar with the term fowling, it just meant at the time bird hunting.
So, Kevin Miller, give us a sense of how that plays out in Maine, because I read something really fascinating, which is that some people, if they're walking along a beach, they think, as long as I have a fishing pole in my hand or bait and tackle, I'm within the loophole that will let me be on this beach.
Right. There's the courts in Maine have traditionally taken a fairly rigid interpretation of this fishing, fowling, navigation law, so that all these other recreational uses that everybody goes to the beach for, you know, strolling, sunbathing, setting up your chair, doing whatever you want to do, those do not fall under those categories. You know, they have made some exceptions to it. You know, I think about 2 years ago, 3 years ago, they made an exception for scuba diving because they looked at scuba diving as a form of either fishing or navigation. And there are folks that have tried to test the law exactly, you know, fishing for recreational uses, but it really comes down to these other pastimes that everybody goes to the beach for.
So simply put, you can do some things on the beach. You can shellfish, you can be out there in a kayak, you can even put your kayak in the water. But if you're just trying to lay out a towel and get some sun, the law says you need the private property owner's permission to do that.
Right. But again, because of this history in Maine of its presumptive permission, unless the property owner puts up a sign that says you can't be there, it's pretty much assumed that you're allowed to go there.
So, John and Kevin, I'm interested in both of your takes on what is the practical impact of this Maine decision in Massachusetts?
Well, I would suggest that the court's most recent decision indicates that anyone trying to claim a right via some historical use, and that is you can get something called a prescriptive easement, where if a group of folks were using a piece of land, particularly in these types of cases, shoreline property, for a certain time period, that is 20 years, and they were doing it so openly that the owner either knew or should have known, and that it was pretty much continuous use, that after that period, that 20-year period, they could go in and actually claim to have an easement, that is a legally recognized interest, to engage in whatever activity they were engaged in for those 20 years. So that's what they attempted to do in the Kennebunkport case. But in that case, the justices of the Maine Law Court said that one of the conditions for that type of an easement is that the use over that period of time has to be adverse to the owner. And what the court said was, we are going to presume that the owner allowed or permitted the folks to use it, and as a result, they didn't meet that standard.
Kevin, what has been the reaction among Mainers, people who are now worried about maybe losing beach access, or people who have private property and are cheering it? What have you heard?
Well, I think it comes down to those two groups. If you are a property owner, property owners were cheering this because they saw it as a protection of their property rights, because there are many people who looked at these prescriptive easements as basically a taking of their land. So even though they've been offering, allowing the public to use this land for years and years, and that's been the case on Goose Rocks Beach, these property owners have allowed the public to use that land for generations now. So even though they were allowing the public to use the land, they were fearful of governments coming in and saying, you know, you no longer have the right to refuse someone. So on the other side, you have the public who doesn't own beachfront property, and they're concerned because this very legitimately could enable property owners to deny the public access to the beach. And as folks have been to Maine know, Maine doesn't have a lot of sandy beach.
Right, a lot of rock up there.
We have a lot of rocky shoreline. So those sandy beaches are the bread and butter of these towns' economy.
Kevin, one of your stories about this contained an interesting piece of information that seemed to me almost contradictory of how this ruling is being perceived. And you wrote that some people argue that this court decision will actually encourage landowners to keep their property open to the public. So explain how this might make them feel even more benevolent.
Right. As I said, you know, they have Maine has this tradition of public access to private land, and that is entirely dependent on basically the goodwill between the property owners and the public. And this goes well beyond beaches. You know, you're talking Maine is the most heavily forested state in the country, has 17 million acres of forest land, which is almost all in private hands. That's used by snowmobilers, ATVers, people who want to hunt and hike. And basically the fear was that if the court had sided with Kennebunkport and granted the town the right to guarantee access to it, you'd get a response from private landowners all over the state who would say, I'm not going to take that risk, so I'm going to close my land to the public now.
Mm. And they may now feel like they don't have that risk anymore. That risk has been removed.
Exactly. So it creates a sense of, you know, where our private property rights are protected. Therefore, I'm going to continue to allow the public to use my land.
There's another aspect to this in terms of why the town of Kennebunkport argued that these beaches should remain public. And that's that the town says, look, we've maintained many of these beaches for a long time. We've posted police officers on them. We've sprayed for mosquitoes. That's taxpayer money. And therefore, the public access should override private property rights. That seems persuasive. John Duff, any thoughts on that?
Well, it certainly represents a manifestation of the use or the occupation of the space that might be adverse to the owners. But quite frankly, the town never asked the owners whether or not they could do this, and they just did it for the benefit. So while you say that they were conveying a benefit in maintaining the beach, quite frankly, they weren't doing that for the private landowners. They were doing it for the public, and the public got to use it.
So give me, go back to the practical implications, and either Kevin or John, feel free to jump in. You know, it's hard to imagine summer at this time of year when it's so arctic outside. But once summer rolls around in Massachusetts and on Cape Cod, will we see any trickle-down effects from this ruling in Maine?
From everybody that I've talked to, including numerous of the Goose Rocks Beach property owners who brought this lawsuit against the town, they say they have no intention of closing the beach to the public. That this was really just about asserting their private property rights. You know, the fear on the other side is that you may get folks who are less benevolent that will say, you know, I'm not happy with people walking across my land anymore or setting up a towel in front of my house when I have guests over. So they could close it.
It sounds like there's almost a much ado about nothing or much ado about little aspect to this.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, the Kennebunkport attorneys and the folks who are on that side are very concerned that this could, as they put it, allow private property owners to close beaches that have been used for generations at any whim.
In fact, I noticed one of the town's lawyers called this ruling a radical departure from how the law has been interpreted in the past. Closing question, John Duff, this colonial law that for 370 years has been interpreted this way and that way, is it going to continue this way, or will we ever have sort of final resolution on who can be on the beach and for what purposes?
Well, there have been some statements out of the Maine court cases, particularly a case in 1989, a dissent in that case, and then a concurring opinion in a 2000 case that suggested that the justices at some point might be willing to expand the philosophy of what the public trust doctrine means to expand the types of uses that could take place there. But that seems to have suffered a setback in this most recent case.
So like less bird hunting, more scuba diving, things that reflect what we do today.
That's right.
That is Kevin Miller. He's a Washington correspondent for the Portland Press Herald and Maine Today. Actually, that was John Duff we were just hearing from. John Duff is an associate professor of environmental law and policy at UMass Boston. Also a former University of Maine School of Law professor. He also authored a guide on shoreline access laws in Maine. John, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
And Kevin Miller is a Washington correspondent for the Portland Press Herald and Maine Today. And he recently wrote an article called Maine High Court Ruling on Land Access Sends Out Tremors. Kevin, thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Stay with us. Coming up, a child psychologist on the thought process behind teen suicide and what you can do to help. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.